Paul.
Can we leave eating on, please? Self-appointed eating people. We decided we're going to turn me up and leave the heating on. Is that all right?
Yes.
Or we can turn me down and turn the heating off. Which would you prefer? Okay, heating on and me turned up. That'll do me. So, this morning, do you mean I need no introduction? Phil Crestfaller, he should be pleased it's me speaking now. I'm shorter than notices as well. So, next level, going bigger than you. This is the next part of our next level talk. It's the final part of the next level. You were expecting Tim Dunning to speak this morning. Where's Tim? He's gone to do kids' work. He's coming back though, isn't he? He's taking them down. Tim's been busy at work, so I'm stepping in for him. I know you're expecting a handsome ginger guy, but instead, you've got a really handsome, smooth guy. So, do you mean when's he coming? Not be long, mate, looking at that. So, yeah, we can't turn you into handsome, though. Let's get on with the sermon. I think it'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? So we're going to look at next level. I'd just like to show you a few slides because Christmas is coming, and at Christmas, you get presents. Life is like a jigsaw puzzle. That's the theme this morning. Life is like a jigsaw puzzle. You all think life is like a box of chocolates. It's not. It's not, because boxes of chocolates are nice. Life is like a jigsaw puzzle, and we're going to explain why life is like a jigsaw puzzle with my next slide. Who has ever received a jigsaw and been all excited? As a kid, you'd see a jigsaw, you'd think, oh, come on. I went into a shop the other day, and on the front of the box, the picture was of one of the old Airfix model kits, the really dramatic pictures that you used to put on fronts of model kits. And I was all my days, they've reintroduced Airfix models, and like, it was a jigsaw. A 1,000-piece jigsaw. So you see a picture, you know, Waterloo, and it's all exciting, wow, amazing. It's a Star Wars thing, and you're all giddy and excited. You look at the picture, the big picture on the top box cover, and you just think, this is it. I am so... You tear the paper back, and your mum sat there at Christmas thinking, oh, look how excited and happy he is. And you're giddy as... Is there anything better than opening up and seeing that picture on top of a box? And then you open the box, and this is what you get. The biggest disappointment in the history of disappointments. The picture on the front box is that. And it's crushing. It is, life is just monumentally crushing when you lift the lid of the big box and it's all in 1,000 pieces. Now, put your hand up if you like jigsaws. If you sat near them, would you place a hand on the shoulder and begin to pray over them? Bring release. So, look, the handsome ginger one has returned. He has no idea what we've been saying about him. He's going to be worried all the way through this now. You know, when you're a kid and you peel the lid off and it's just jigsaw pieces inside, it's awful. It's not... It is a broken photo. I'm with you. It's a really good picture that somebody's cut up. It was a good picture. Just look, just buy me a poster. I'll put it on the wall. Somebody's bought me chopped up cardboard. You're absolutely right. And I think they've done me a favour. Somebody's bought me chopped up cardboard and said, let's spend the next 6 hours of your life wasting it, putting the chopped up cardboard back together. Ace. Thank you, everybody. And when you do, this is what happens on the next slide. This is what happens every time. How many times have you opened the box, spent hours and hours building it, and boom, there's a bit missing in the middle? Who here, oh, let's get all pastoral, who here feels that they're the missing piece in the middle of the jigsaw? Who feels there's a piece missing from their jigsaw of life? I'm being serious now. Yeah, come on, let's all respond spiritually. It's the Holy Spirit moment. Who feels that their jigsaw is broken? Should have bought a poster in that case then. So often, this is what our life actually does feel like. We get all excited about the big picture. There are times I arrive and I think, church is going to be amazing. Oh, I love church. I love the concept of church. But I actually do love church. I love everything about what makes a church, that gathering of people where people can belong and learn to belong and grow together and build something. You know, the Bible refers to us as a family and as an army and as inheritors and sons and co-heirs. It's an amazing thing. And I love the concept. I love the picture. And then I get into church, and so often I realize that we still need fitting together. And the person I'm sometimes sat next to is not quite the same shape that I need to fit around. And so what we tend to do is I'll sit next to somebody and I'll hammer them into place. And the jigsaw will fit. And the jigsaw will work. And we will be together. And it will be good. Never quite works that way. You can't force jigsaw. So you know, everything you need, everything we need to make the big picture is in this room. Everything we need is in this room. We just have to find our place in that big picture. But there are some pieces missing. How do I know there's some pieces missing? They're empty chairs. So I'm excited by the fact that out there are people that don't even know Jesus is yet. We're going to get to know him and we'll become part of this big picture. How amazing is that? Seriously, how exciting is that? That there are people out there that don't know Jesus yet. They're not just going to attend this place, but they're going to fit the jigsaw. They're going to make up the big picture. They're going to be essential to completing the picture. But right now, it feels like we're all piled into the box. Everything's there to start building, but we're all in the box. And so what I'd like to do is to read us some verses that are your favourite verses in the world, especially if you're having a good time. And I love the concept, amen, have mercy. I'm just going to pray that most of my life now, every day. Amen, have mercy. Okay? So let's have a little look in Romans chapter 8. So if anybody's ever had anything bad happen to them, or it's happening to them now, or you're facing tough times, I just want to read these verses over you and make you feel good about yourself. Okay, these are the verses that you want in good times. Romans 8, 28, 29. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. This is next level living. This is God saying, you are being prepared to be part of that image. You're becoming part of me. You're becoming part of Christ. And everything that happens, I can use to help you become part of that big picture. That's an amazing thing that God does for us. It's an amazing Bible promise. Our temptation is to make that picture happen rapidly. We try to force things together. We try to understand how bits might fit. And we squeeze them and we press them. And if ever you felt squeezed and crushed and compressed by life, has anybody ever felt that? Is it just me? I'm guessing your lives are kind of smooth and working, challenge-free, no issues. Great, isn't it, when life's like that? Raise your hand if your life is like that now. Okay, let's pray for the people that are lying. Life is so full of stuff. There'll be things in your life right now, things that you'll face. I'm going to name some things in a few minutes' time, and I'm going to say to you that in the hardest and darkest of things, we can begin to look like Jesus in the most difficult times. What I need is not to work harder to get the pieces to fit. What I need is to see the big picture. And the big picture is a glimpse and a vision of who Jesus actually is. When I lift my eyes away from trying to squeeze and make it work, and have a vision of who Jesus is, life begins to work. There's an explanation I've given before. When you're riding a motorcycle, you look at where you want to go. You don't look at the object you're trying to avoid. If you look at the thing you're trying to avoid, do you know what happens? You are magnetically drawn to said object and you will hit it. You always look to where you want to go. See, that's actually spiritually true in our lives. If we look at the issues and the problems obsessively, we will hit them again and again and again. But if we look at Jesus, we will break through. We will break through. Look, this is not empty words. This is not life coaching. It's just a statement of truth and fact, because I know that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back to an amazing bride, to an amazing church that is victorious. So therefore, these things must fit into place at some point. Our lives will be sorted, will be perfected. This great author will fit our lives. So I know that it's true of our lives, of your life. I know it's true of the lives of people out there that don't even know who Jesus is yet. Their lives will fit. Just because somebody doesn't belong just now doesn't mean that they won't ever belong and won't ever fit. See, we can't live big picture all the time, but we can see the big picture all the time. The simple truth is, our life experiences at times are hard and are difficult and are pressured. And it's hard to live in the big picture when that's happening. But we can always see the big picture. We can always see who Jesus is. And when we achieve that, when we find that place of seeing him for who he is and pursuing him, then we go to another level of living, another level of faith. See, you were created to have a God perspective. You understand that? You were actually created from the outset to have a God perspective. And you can't afford to be impressed by anything less. But you will be unless you have a perspective of Jesus. You are created to see God. You're created to know him. You're created to understand him. You're created to be near him. You're created to be part of him. And if you have a vision for anything less than that, you will be less than that. But if we have a vision for Jesus, it can inspire us and lift us to a new place. See, Jesus is the big picture of God's kingdom that awakens something of eternity within us. See, if we glance at the difficult things and the problem things, that's what we become. If we get a glimpse of Jesus, then something of eternity begins to wake up inside us. Something that is not going away, something that will sustain us, something that will grow us, something that will build us, something that will overcome and wipe out and wash away everything that went before it. We become something of eternity. So why Jesus prays, your kingdom come? Because he gets that concept. You're pulling in the big picture into your right now situation. If you want to know what that means, when Jesus prays, your kingdom come, and he says, here's how you should pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's very simply pulling the big picture into our experience now, beginning to see it now. And he can do that in our lives. See, if I don't have the big picture, I don't know where I'm headed. I'm asking for frustration. I don't know what this life is supposed to look like unless I have the big picture of Jesus. I've got to be able to see him. And that's how it is with the church. We've got to have it. We've got to see who he is. And living in the shadow, if you like, or within the light of that big picture of Jesus, and my life conforming to that, people would say, well, I've got to conform. I want to tell you, that's not restricting, but it's liberating. It's liberating. Conforming to Jesus, conforming to his image, conforming to his likeness, fitting into that picture, thinking I am just that tiny piece that fills that gap, that's not restricting, but liberating. Because we become what we're called to be. See, we're called to belong, but we're not called to be everything. Sometimes we see the big picture, and I have this problem. I want to be every part of the jigsaw. I want to be every part of it. When you see an exciting picture, I want to be that part of it. I want to be this part of it. I want to be that part of it. I want to be this part. I want to fulfill that part. Oh, wow, look at that part. But actually, it only looks amazing. The big picture only looks amazing when every part is in place. The most beautiful picture, if you take one piece out of the middle of it, you know, the only bit of the picture you look at is the piece that's missing. I promise you, I want you to go home now, buy a 1,000-piece jigsaw, build it on your dining table, and take one piece out of the middle and throw it in the bin. Mount the picture on the wall, and I promise you this, you will not know what that picture looks like, but you'll know exactly what the missing piece looks like. because that's all you will see. And sometimes in our lives, all we see is the missing piece. We're obsessed with the missing piece in our life. And here's what I want to say to you. God is building your life. He's the author and perfecter of everything you are. And he's molding and shaping and turning you into his image. And that is his heart for you. And yes, there might be one or two pieces missing right now. But step back and look at the bigger picture. Lift your eye away from the missing piece and know that the Lord will place in there in time. See the big picture. God is building. God is doing a work. Those verses, he will complete it. He's begun it. He'll complete it. One thing I found in leadership life, though, is that when people come and ask for input, mentoring or coaching, advice, some pastoral work, there are only ever two types of people that come and ask for input. There are those that want to be affirmed and confirmed. And those that want to be affirmed and to grow. What does that mean? One is static and looks at the small picture. The other is dynamic and looks at the big picture. One is looking at themselves and the other is looking at Jesus. See, the ones that want to be affirmed and confirmed are simply saying, I want you to make me feel good about myself and tell me that everything I'm doing is right. Don't we all want that? We all want it. But next level living says, I want you to affirm me and value me, but show me how to grow. Yeah. Show me how to grow to become more like Jesus. I don't want to be static. I don't want to look at myself. I want to look at him. So where you are and where you are looking matters. So this is my first thing, next level living. That was the introduction, but you're going to be glad to know that everything's really fast after that, so relax. So this is, number one, next level living. Let me ask you this. How do you handle the pieces of the life you've been given when some of them aren't good? See, when life is good, we can handle promotion at work. We can handle a great marriage. We can handle being given extra money. Would anybody not like extra money? Would anybody like extra money? Neil, I see that hand, Neil. I see that hand. I see that hand. See Neil afterwards. We can handle promotion, marriage, extra money. Who can handle good health? I can do good health. I can do friends. I can do a good family. We can all handle those things, can't we? We all want those pieces of our life. But where do we look when these things happen? You get lied about at work and fired. The marriage that you thought was made in heaven breaks up. Your brand new car breaks down and there's no money to fix it. The health you thought you had is gone and you discover you're diabetic or you've got cancer. The friends that you thought you had, times of trouble hit and they turn their back on you. I could go on with a long list of miserable things, things that do happen in people's lives, things that have happened in the lives of people in this congregation over the last 10 or 15 years. Where do we look? I'm not saying those things are good or they're easy. But when those bad things come, where else can I look but to Jesus? Where else should I look but to Jesus? It's not the good pieces that we struggle with. We know how to make them fit. It's the bad pieces. How do they fit into my life? When Scripture says all things work together for good, I've got to begin to try and explain that. See, when we're struggling with hurts of life and trying to find where they fit, it really helps to step back and see the big picture. If I've got the 1,000 pieces in a box, at least I can look at the lid and know that there's a big picture coming. When I begin to put the pieces in place, I can see the big picture emerging in front of my eyes. So what is God's big picture? The heart of the Bible promises this: all things work together for good. This is one of the most famous promises in the Bible. And even if you're not that familiar with the Bible, you've probably heard that. All things work together for good. But what is Paul really saying? It's about where we look. First, let's look at what Paul is saying. He's not saying we don't look at these things. Paul is not saying that whatever happens to a Christian is good. I just want to let you know that some things that happen in your life are not good. They are bad. Are you with me? Yeah? Okay, so you've got that. We're not saying that things that happen to you, God's going, oh, good, bad things have happened to those people. Okay? Paul doesn't mean that God works out all things for our comfort and convenience. So when bad things happen to us, God is getting ready to make your life perfect. It's not what that's about. The third thing Paul is not saying is that after you lose your house because you can't pay the mortgage, God is not preparing to give you a winning lottery ticket. That is not working all things to God. Paul is not saying that in some weird way, war and famine and disease is actually all good stuff. It's not. It's bad stuff. And you know it's bad stuff. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying this: for the people to whom his promise was made, God will work everything together to accomplish his goals. The question is, who did God make this promise to? Those who love him, who are being called according to his promise, is what Scripture says. This is an amazing promise. But whenever you read a promise in God's word, we need to stop and understand what it's saying to us. It's about those who love him, those who look to him. When we look to him, he can begin to do something with the most difficult circumstances. Do we look to God first? Love God. God wants you to love him more than you love anything else. Jesus said that was the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Amen, have mercy. Great timing. Amen, have mercy. Because there are times when it's just hard. But amen, have mercy. This promise is made to people who do that very thing. They love God most of all. I encourage you, never shift your eyes from God in a bad situation. Don't look at the missing piece. Look at the big picture. Look at Christ. And I'm not speaking fancifully to people who've had a tough time when I've got everything perfect. I've had a tough time. I know things are going wrong. Second thing, it's about where we live. And that's about our purpose. This promises those whose purpose is, who puts Jesus at the center, he's the purpose of their life. The Bible is pretty clear that you are chosen and called. You are chosen and called to have Jesus as your purpose. But we don't have to respond. Those promises are for those that respond. We need to live in God's purpose, that big picture. Now, what is the purpose of God? And this is what those verses say. The aim of that promise is, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. No matter what happens in your life, he can use that to help you become more Christ-like, to look more like him. This group who loved God and put his purpose first, God knew beforehand that they would respond. And so he decided his goal would be to make them just like Jesus. So you and me, people like you and me that love Jesus, for all time God knew that he wanted to make you look like him. Because there is no better thing to do than to look like Jesus. He wanted to build that jigsaw, to be conformed into the image of his Son. Where we live is in the purpose of God. That's the next level. It's the big picture. We don't live in the missing piece. We live in the big picture. The purpose is to complete that picture. The purpose is to find our place within it. The purpose is to look like Christ. And this church can only be the church it's called to be with you in it. You understand that, don't you? Yeah. And I know sometimes the pieces don't fit because, you know, at the time, it's just a big pile of pieces in one corner. And periodically, the leadership get together and we put all the edge pieces out to try and join them up. Which is great if you're an edge piece, because you get in the frame pretty darn quick. But who here feels like that bit in the top right-hand corner that's not an edge piece? That always gets built last. Always the last to find the place. But you're still essential to that big picture. You are essential to what God is doing in his kingdom. You're essential to church. That is next level. So where do we learn? If you love God and are putting his purposes first, life will fit together to make you more like him. Listen to this. If you love God and put his purpose first in your life, an abusive situation, a difficult situation where you're being lied about, or there's been an ugly divorce, or there are financial problems, or there is sickness, or there is fear and damage done, even in those situations, you can be made more like Jesus. Because it's where we look and how we choose to respond at those darkest moments. Those moments of loss and pain. Where do I look? If I look to Jesus, I will become more like Jesus. Now the Lord has no desire to hurt me. He has no desire to hurt you. But we do live in a fallen and messy world. And I'm not going to pretend that we don't. But when we look to him, that big picture, that also brings healing and transformation. We can only do this in the context, though, of a loving family, the church, where the pieces hold us in place and get us to make up the big picture. See, when hurt comes, if you're that missing piece out there by yourself, you will be lost. You will be damaged. You will be trodden on. You will be broken. But when your piece of jigsaw facing trouble, facing battles, is in the context of a church family, where you are joined together and interlocked, where you belong, where the pieces around you hold you in place, no matter what comes against you, you will stand. That's why the Lord puts us in family. Never walk away. Always connect. You know, it's interesting to me that the thing that we do so often when we have, and I do this, when we have trouble, is to walk out. Julie will recall one occasion when she made a mistake and made me have an argument with her. We were having a row. Doesn't happen often. I can remember every one of those rows because they've only happened twice in 32 years. And in my temper, I stopped the car, got out and said, "It's all yours. I'm walking home." This was not mature. I was a long way from home. I hadn't processed said concept before I got out, realising I have no bus fare. I'm not on a bus route anyway. Pants. And she drove off and left me. There was no mercy. There was no, "He'll come round in a moment." She drove home. That didn't work. She's supposed to... Oh. Anyway, it was not a smart thing to get out of the car and be stranded by the roadside. It's a long time ago, can I say? It's nearly, 3 or 4 days now, isn't it? It's years ago. It would never happen now. When it happens, you don't just get out and say, "It's all yours then." When God has put something together, when God has purposed them to be together, when it's called to be family, you can't just walk out. We say, we connect, we work it through, and we are stronger for having done that. Face the battle and come through it. You are stronger. You are stronger for it. You are tighter, you are closer. The piece of the jigsaw fit better than ever before. The picture looks more beautiful. You realize the preciousness of belonging. Of being loved. So, I've got a cake here. Isn't it? You thought we were saving it because nobody could eat it later. Well, there's a bit of that in it. Here is a bun. You might call it a cupcake. You might call it just a cake. What else might you call it? A fairy cake. A what? A butterfly, it's a star on there. You might call it, it's a bun where I come from. It's a bun with a B-U-N. That's why we call it bun. If it were ban, it would be B-O-B-A-N or something. But it's bun. All right, B-U-N, bun. It's a Germanic language, it's bun. So that bun is made up of a spongy bit, an icy bit, some brown chocolate bits, and a white chocolate bit. And doesn't it look pretty? Doesn't it look amazing, that? It's actually made of eggs and flour and sugar. And I don't know, I saw what else is in there. Butter. Love. Fairy dust. Raising agent. Effort. Time. Energy. Calories. Trust you. Yeah. Top buns in this place. Calories, not cannabis. What are you doing? We've got new people in. I thought it was the Holy Spirit, but it turns out it's their buns. Moving on. If I were to say to you, "Hey, Sue, you know Wednesday at Cafe, it'd be dead funny if you did." If I'd have said, "Let's enjoy a bun," and I gave somebody a bag of flour and somebody an egg and somebody a spoon of sugar, it'd be a fairly rubbish cake. But it works when you put it together. Yeah. I could also say, let's enjoy a bun and say, there you go, mate, that one's for you. Man alive, that's sweet. Oh, they're passing chocolate stars now to make up. There are times in church... wow, peace, man. Is it dry, that one, mate? Sue, he says your buns are dry. Sorry, she's not real. I shouldn't have done that. Wow, you have no idea how sweet that was without the sugar rush. There are times in church we look and we think, they've got the chocolate bit, they've got the icing bit, how come I just get the dry sponge bit? Seriously, what, the people sometimes think, how come I only got, they got a cake and I got a little bit. We question these things all the time. And actually we work better when we appreciate we come as a package. We come as a whole thing. It's not a case of they've got the best bit, I've got the worst bit. You know, it only works when we stand together. The person that's on the door, on door duty, doing the welcome team, the person that stands on that door there, I can stand and say, if I'm outside, how come they get to stand just inside this door here underneath the heater greeting people? I get to stand outside. That's a bit rubbish. Who was on the outside door duty today? The Lord bless you and keep you. James is on the front door, were you? Yeah. But you know what? They're still greeting people and they're still essential to the process. They're connecting people to this church immediately they appear. They matter. They are the first people. So don't think they've got a raw deal being out there in the cold. They're the people that greet people. They're representers. They represent Christ. That's the first who you are and how you greeted people was the first impression people get of this church. Therefore, the first impression they get of who Jesus might be. So they matter. So don't think that you only get the spongy bit or you get this bit or you get that bit. This church functions because people are together. Yeah. When it comes together, it tastes great. And I've got to tell you, if you just eat the sweet bit, it's too sweet. Way too sweet. You need the whole thing. Church, I encourage you to stand together and know that in every circumstance, whatever is happening, we need a bigger picture of who Jesus is. So I may be talking to someone who's facing real hurts this morning. Somebody who's been abused. Somebody who's been diagnosed with some sickness. Somebody who's been treated unfairly by a partner or by work. Somebody who's been lied to or lied about. But here's what I know. When you love God first and keep the big picture, then someday when you look back, you'll say, the thing that was supposed to hurt me turned out for good. It made me more like Jesus. See, it sounds contradictory, it sounds nonsense, but I know it to be true, that in every circumstance we can run to him, in every circumstance we can look to him, and we can become more like him, and that is next level living. That is big picture. I want to talk for just a moment to those who are not certain about where you stand with God. See, I'm talking mainly to Christians this morning, but there may be people in this room who are not Christians, or they're brand new Christians and are wrestling with this. Just as I wind this down. My talk this morning was on living on the next level, the big picture. I know that all of you here today have got things that have hurt them in the past or even hurting them right now. But I've got good news for you. God wants to make your hurts work together for good. God wants to make your experiences, as tough as they may have been, work together for good. And he can bring good things into your life that can bring good things into other lives. As you begin to look more and more like him. I'm going to ask the band to come back, please, if you would. And those good things can begin to happen. That transformation can begin to take place when we begin to love God first. There are many things to love in this world. There are many things. I love so many things. I love it, some individual people so passionately. But I've got to love God first.
My first thought has got to be Jesus. You know, the little old-fashioned, but I mean, I would never wear one now. It's kind of the word popular, what would Jesus do? That's actually that fun, simple way of saying, look at Jesus first. Put his purposes first in my life. But I want you to know this morning, if you're not a Christian or you're not sure or you're brand new, just remember, Jesus died on a cross for you. This is what it says about that. As he was on a cross, in Hebrews 12:2, it says this, and this is true for everyone in this room, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. At that dark, dark moment of his crucifixion, for the joy set before him, for what was coming, for the big picture, for his place at the Father's side, for his place with you, he endured. That is how amazing our God is. That is how much he loves us. That's the big picture vision we need. I just want to show you two words this morning because I want to make a call to us. When Scripture says the pioneer or author, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, the Greek word there, archaeos, means captain. He wants to be our captain, our leader, our inspirer. And teleotes, that perfecter of our faith. He wants to be the completer. He wants to be our captain and completer of our life and of our faith. And the word for joy is about the view. It's a Greek word meaning the view, the beyond what you see now, the bigger picture. So this captain, this completer of our life, sees something bigger than we do. He sees something more perfect. He sees a completion for us. And we need to respond to that. Jesus wants to be our captain to complete us and to place us in his big picture. So this morning, wherever you are in Christ, whatever the hurt has been, whatever the disappointment, whatever the excitement, I just want to encourage you that Jesus gave his life for you because he had a bigger picture for you. And he's simply asking that in every circumstance of life, whatever it may be, good or bad, you say, he's my captain. He's the Lord. He's in charge. He's my captain, and he will complete my life. This is the big picture I belong to. This is the jigsaw. This is where I need to stand. This is where I will fit. And to step outside of that is to step into danger. Let's stay close to the Lord. And if you don't know him as your Lord and Saviour this morning, I want to assure you, you can step into that secure place. You can step into that big picture. Right now, this church is growing and developing, and so many of its parts are in a big box shaking about, but God is putting them into place. It's not perfect, but it's being completed by our captain. I'd like us to do something. Just as the band are about to play and to lead, there's a film, Dead Poets Society. I'm doing this spontaneously now. And in that film, the teacher is rejected and thrown out, but the boys get that he's their captain. And they stand and they simply say, "Captain, my captain." They look to him and say, "You're our leader. You're the one completing us." In that kind of image, I want to say to you this morning, as you are ready, as you are prepared to, as it feels right in your life, as the band sing and the leaders, I want you to weigh this and weigh this concept of being part of the big picture, of your place within it. Even though you may not know, even though you may feel you're just a piece rattling about in a box, it takes faith to say, but you are my captain and my completer. So as we're thinking about Jesus, as the band play, as you are ready, I would like you, in your terms, without any judgment or condemnation or challenge, to stand as you're ready. Because as you stand, you are saying, Jesus, you are my captain. You are completing my life. And I'm going to stand and be part of this big picture. So I challenge you and encourage you, exhort you, and long for you to find that place to see in the big picture that overcomes the tough stuff and sees where we're going. Your kingdom come. You catch my heart on that? Let's worship the Lord. And as you're ready, weigh your life, weigh the challenges, weigh the battles, and be prepared to say, Captain and Completer, and stand for the Lord.